Mr. Brown, Reel 3. We're just looking at the various postings in England and Ireland, a bit generally, going back and forth a bit, but what about your time at Bridlington? You mentioned off tape you had quite a good social life there. So what was that like?
I think it was because of the pub we went to. Can't remember the name. But the people in it were very friendly and invited us home. And this went this. All the time we were there, we would meet them in the pub, go home with them at night, and have a cup of tea and sandwich or whatever. So we went off to your billet.
Now, while they were at Chippenham and Bridlington, they got the Shermans, which is, I mean, you know, it's quite important in one way. What did you think of the Shermans? I know you were in the officers' mess, but what did you think of them?
I never heard of them, I suppose, very much. I remember seeing one with a tail all stripped off it. Look at that, with five engines stuck, all mounted round about a common crankshaft and driveshaft.
But you never... Did you have the impression they were a good tank or a bad tank at that time? You know, because I mean, they were the first modern tank.
By what the crew said...
What did they say?
They think it was all right. I don't think they knew that it was more petrol lighter than a tank. But I don't know which one, which tank would be the sort of the best one in the lot. We had a great selection, didn't we?
There was some big exercises while they were at Bridlington, Blackcock and Eagle. Do you remember anything about them?
Not really.
With the officers?
I was with the officers and it was travelling around in the back of a truck. Catch up with officers at the end of the day.
So
got the driver truck. Only occasionally I've ever got a driving job if the major's driver was on me, he would give me his car.
That was it. Mm-hmm. They then went to Aldershot, Moorburg Barracks, Aldershot. That's the second time at Aldershot. Anything about that?
I don't remember much of it. One interesting thing, you looked out, you went into the officer's mess, it was upstairs, and a good view of the farm by the area. And this day a plane took off and went straight up into the sky. And I said, what on earth was that? It was one of the first jets. You've never seen any light, I mean, Spitfires took off and things like that. But we always sort of climbed gradually, but this one seemed to just stand on its tail and whirl away. My first sight. Nobody believed me when I went down the kitchen.
So nothing much else about Aldershot that time?
Nothing much else about here.
We were aware that you were moving towards the second front to D-Day at this time. How did you feel about that?
We've been thinking about it for 5 years, sort of thing, 4 years.
Were you nervous at all?
No. Get past that. Going across the channel and a boat.
So what do you remember of the lead up and the crossing the channel?
Not much. Again, riding in the back of our sea tank truck. Bobby Hogg was the sergeant in the front. He was an older chap.
Bobby Hobb?
Hobb. G-G. And I remember asking him if he'd picked this squad. He must be joking. I won't lie. mm. to rent in a week, they'd say, what was it?
Cully was the first village that were outside before Epsom. What do you remember of it?
Sitting in this wood anyway, and somebody shouted, there's a jet plane coming over. And Sally Hawk says, get on the gun. The plane was coming from the front of the truck, and the one's mounted in the back, what am I going to do? And he says, right, start fire. So I just pressed the second. Traitor's going up. Missed the plane, nearly got the Spitfire that was chasing it. Just the silly thing, you know, when you think of it.
What gun were you firing? Was that a Lewis or a Bren or what? A Browning. And it was fitted where? Where was it fitted?
Back of the truck. Centre of the field boat. So you didn't have a very great field of fire.
Anything about that first period before Epsom?
No, again, it was more.
What was your job looking after the officers in the field, so to speak, then? No mess building?
That was it. You'd maybe go out for a few days and have a tour of just sitting in. Imagine sitting in a tank for a few days. You can imagine what the clothes were like when they came back. I got to tell Nelson Major Grant for using a scrubbing brush on his collar. My mother wouldn't do that, you know, she had a scrubbing board.
Were you still with Gilmore though?
Yeah, well, yes.
So how come we were doing Grants? What was it?
Well, he was just, by this time I was with Echelon, and he just happened to come along as I was washing this shirt. Mm-hmm. A nail brush. It was only a nail brush that was going around the collar. It was 3 days back on it. That was Major Grant for you.
What did you think of Major Grant?
Alright, well, then. He more or less accepted the opinions of the majority, I think. And it wasn't very good.
What was his problem?
Just keep telling people what to do.
He was in charge of headquarters company, wasn't he?
He was in charge of this. He was his OC headquarters company. So he had all the echelons from the fighting school.
Now you were with, although you were still with Gilmore, he was still in command of B squadron, was he?
Yes.
You would be with the B echelon headquarters squadron. Yes. So, what do you remember of, for instance, I mean, I know you wouldn't be directly involved in the fighting. What do you remember of those two big battles, Epsom and then Goodwood, as far as, you know, from your perspective,
no,
back in the...
I remember the night we had where we did taking shelter among gliders, and then got mistaken for cleaning by the enemy, and we lost a lot of... We lost a lot of people that night.
Were you there during the German air raid?
No. No, that was further forward.
So what were you doing while they were going forward to Epsom, to Goodwood? What would you be doing?
Just on guard duties, things like that. Not much at all. We just hung around and waited for the next order to move. We didn't even have like the tank crews, they had their own lashes and everything, but we didn't, but it was all done. And the cooks.
So this was with B echelon?
Echelon was more or less like a squadron of its own. Well, it was a squadron of its own. The A echelon vehicles, they were out a lot, but us story just seems static. Major Domo had a radio which we worked off the car and back on. So we kept up to tune it to the BBC. 9 o'clock, I used to turn the volume up so that it went all over the country. Everybody came round to hear what the news was.
Now, I don't quite understand this, but Gilmore surely would be with B Squadron, so
yeah.
So you wouldn't see much of him either.
Well, when he came back, we went to our own squadrons at that. That was him, yeah. At this time, I was driving a 1500 weight truck with a water trailer.
So the water truck?
Just a trailer on it. An officer's kit in it. He was my co-driver and another button. Arthur Hornsby, a Londoner.
And what did it involve driving the water, the truck with the water trailer?
It was more a new supply for the echelon.
So you wouldn't go forward to take water up on the
tanks, no. We had proper water trucks, which were mine would just be a room. It was only about 200 gallons or something. I remember one day getting sent to the water point and coming back. One stretch of the road was under enemy fire. You're coming back along this road. And the shell started busting. And Arthur says, "Stop it, truck, let's get out of this." That hit us, and I just sort of rebushed and slowed up, so the guy's going to have a difficult job sort of ranging on me. Anyway, we got through without getting hit. But after we'd all for getting out and walking, I wasn't, because I didn't want to walk. I didn't know where we were from the start.
Any other incidents during the period in Normandy? Were you affected by the casualties? I mean, so many of the men had been killed. You must have lost some friends. How did you react to that?
Eventually, I suppose it became common place.
Did you lose any particular friends?
Acquaintances, friends. Well, I suppose my friends were people, having been in officers' mess all the time, my friends were more or less officers' mess. Yes, and then.
The
end of my life.
What about the move forward into France? Because after the, you know, the static bit, they started moving fast through France, didn't they? What do you remember of that?
I remember going through Caen, which was a nightmare. Because they cleared the roads by the time we got there. It was just houses, there were just the bricks piled up each side of the road. And then the fast move up the road. One place we stopped in the square, and we were frying up our breakfast with eggs, and everybody was around them, the smell. Jim Martin opened a pack, cigarettes came with 50 boxes, round boxes. Jim Martin opened this, and that was enough. He lost his whole box. Cigarettes all over the place. I'd given up smoking by that.
What caused you to give up? Because it's quite unusual then, during the war.
The hassle trying to get them in England. You had to queue up, hunt all over the place to get them. Didn't make any difference. Of course, my friend would say, "Arnold, they've got fags in the car." So it was still queuing up for somebody else. But anyway, I gave up smoking.
How did you get on with the French civilians during the move forward? Was there no sort of reception when you went through?
most of you met him. We were on the move actually. Belgium, we got invited to a house. I don't know why. These girls are on. Why don't you speak French, Harold? I've forgotten it. I had it at school, but I've forgotten it. Then we went home with them. My father had cigars that he kept for such. And I landed flat on my back. A nice tile floor was matched in there, quite a thing. I mean, I should just keep the weight. And I went down with a real rattle. And they were very solicitous. Did you hurt yourself or something like that? But he insisted I have a cigar. And a drink of brandy. Didn't like the brandy. We drank quite a lot of coffee this day, yeah. Liberated it.
What's the next thing you remember? Yes. What's the next thing you remember? You moved into Belgium?
Yes. I seem to remember Louvain stopping here for some reason, staying in a hotel. I think I've got a photograph of it at home. Postcard, signed by the daughter, Nicole. And then we went up into Holland, yeah. Then two villages, Van Roo and Van Lee, I think they were. But again, it was very quiet. We did guard duties and everything at that time as well, because we were just sort of watching a static line.
What would a guard duty be like, a typical guard duty for you?
Getting very worried about the new Russells that were going. And Garen was a place like that, not the best route, the best route, and there was a petrol dump. And at night, you hear all these things contracting again and all expanding and the heat keeps being bang, bang. First thing I wonder what on earth is going on.
They were at Ypres for quite a while. What do you remember of that? Ypres.
Yes.
From December to March or
something. There's a mess there.
Where was the mess?
That was in a big rambling house as well. But I can't remember much about the place where it goes to the cafes. One we went to, it was a First World War soldier from Manchester. Funny thing was, his daughter's born in France, spoke English with a sort of Manchester accent. They were both great teams, I suppose. But they were the same age as us. Younger. But he'd married a French girl and settled in.
Nothing else about it.
No, I can't remember much about that. Then, of course, there was the breakout of Ardennes and we got sent up here.
Did you go? They sent the airship. The
back of a truck. Christmas dinner was a bar of chocolate in the back of a sweet tank truck. Just very pleasant. Just because of what was happening. You're told to expect Germans in American uniforms.
You wouldn't meet much. You wouldn't see the Germans, though.
No, really. And once the weather cleared, that was the planes got going. Jerry was on the way home. Yeah, we were told that Monty wanted to let them through, so just let them back into the Belgian planes and annihilate them, and that would be the end of it. But the Americans weren't too keen about that. Yeah, well, the Belgians were close.
After that, the crossing of the Rhine, and they had comments by then, didn't they?
Yes, that was why we went back to eat. Just came on comments.
What did you think of them?
Everybody was ecstatic about the comet.
And why?
Not fast, a good gun, and getting on flames quite so much. I don't think Germans never captured a comet. Got a little wrong retreat all the time. I must have shot them up.
No. He was still with Gilmore. How was he reacting to the war?
He was second in command of the regiment.
How did he change?
Didn't. I remember talking to his crew one day and had his head out of the turret. And then he says, "You better put your hat on, sir." And he gets down and puts his beret on. Funny thing, I read a book. And it was about Arnhem. But it was sort of the guards' armour's advance. And the author's describing them wearing their tank, their berets in the tank, with a silver horse on a blue background, which sounded more like our badge than it did the guards. It was an Irish guard that this group was working at. It was supposed to be a story based on something like you're doing now, interviews with particular people.
So Gilmore, I mean, he'd gone from being the war hadn't changed him as far as you were concerned.
Nope. There was one time in France. I lost all the time. He actually commanded the regiment from the regimental bulldozer. I don't know if it tells you that in history, isn't it? But everybody was knocked out. It was mostly mines. That must have been about me.
But he showed no signs of nerves.
Hmm?
He showed no signs of nerves.
No. That's one thing they did not say. He told me after the war, I met him at one of the reunion dinners. He says, "Sir John was a very good soldier." So.
Now, the advance into Germany, what do you remember of that?
Everything was taken care of before we went across. One friend got promoted to second in command. I was sent up with his kit and I was given one of these little box wagon runabouts that was captured and sent up to this village. And when I got there, I reported to him. And I went into the ante room, which was a farm yard and a farmhouse. And there all the officers were sound asleep. They'd been gassed with the fumes from the stove. So if I hadn't arrived at that time, we'd probably been lost on our headquarters staff.
So what did you do?
I saved his life that day. It would have been half an hour later, there might have not been a headquarters.
What did you do?
Well, it was somebody else that went in. Or was just open windows and building windows. And can't remember who was the court order from the mess at that time. Greenhill. He had a pub in Sheffield.
Now, what about the move into Germany? The next thing you remember is the end of the war, then?
I don't remember much about that, actually.
What about V-Day celebrations? Were there any celebrations amongst you staff or amongst the officers?
Alistair Grant's caravan got shot up.
Who by?
Some of the squadron, I think. wasn't in it. I remember I still had this truck with the wireless in it, tuned into BBC, and I heard them saying that leading units of 2nd Fighting Corps of Yeomanry had reached Lübeck. That was the first we knew where our tanks were. I can't remember where we were stuck on the side of the road. Something was short of the bit. And then over to... What was the name of the place we went to?
Bredston.
Bredston.
Do you know much about that?
Well, I was stuck there for a while. Took over a house in the town. But there was no fraternisation, and it was very quiet.
And what about your demobilisation then, just to wrap it up?
Just back home. I came back with a shotgun for a carrying a shotgun for one of the other lads. The customs weren't very happy about it. Well, they better see him. He was two places back. He was a gamekeeper on the estate over in like Falkirk somewhere. And he got this shotgun. So I got to see his enemy.
And when were you demobilised?
Edinburgh.
And what date?
Norfolk Barracks. A nice suit and a hat. I had that suit for a long time.
And what was the date?
The date?
Roughly.
February.
46.
Yeah. I think it was February 46.
And did you have any problems getting back into civilian life? I mean, did you go back to the...
I went back into
the steelworks.
Steelworks, yeah. And... Well, I had I was on the last year of my apprenticeship. I had finished my apprenticeship at 21 and started at 16, did 5 years. But being away at the war, they credited me with the rest, so I went in as a tradesman.
As moulder?
Moulder, yeah. One of the other foremen there at the interview, he says, how about coming with me into the course shop, they called it, and look after the girls? So maybe I'd better get in the mold shop and get back into the swing of things again. I've forgotten all.